Good morning. Colossians chapter 1. All right, let's start reading in verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before, and the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. All right, this morning we're going to talk about the second half of verse number 2. It says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. We're going to talk about grace and peace for a little bit this morning. Those things are certainly something that all of us need. And I say all of us need, and few of us are looking for it except for in times of hardship. When times of hardship comes, then we want the grace and the peace. We want grace and peace when we need it, when we actually can have grace and peace all the time. Amen? And so we'll look at that a little bit this morning. Again, let me read the verse, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we do thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace this morning. We pray that you would watch over us and help us, Lord, as we meet together this morning and try to get something out of your word. I pray you would help us, teach us, instruct us. Lord, we pray that you'd have your will and way this morning. Pray you'd protect us as a church, protect us as a body here, Lord. I pray that you would, strengthen us and give us direction in our lives. Give us direction, God, in the state that we live in. I pray, God, that you would give us wisdom and give us, Lord, the ability, God, to be the Christians that we ought to be in this day and age, in this time. And, Lord, I thank you and praise you, God, for all that you do. Lord, we do ask you, Lord, to teach us this morning about grace and about peace. And, Lord, so few people live without any peace. And, Lord, I believe that grace is readily and freely available to all of us, God, but so few people look to grace. So many people look to their own way, to their own doings, Lord, to their own abilities. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, God, to realize that we can take part in this grace that you've given to all men. I pray, God, that you'd help us with that. I pray that you'd help our community. I pray, God, that you would help even us as Christians to realize that we have access into this grace and peace in our lives. And we'll thank you, God, for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen. All right. So this is the way, really, that most all of Paul's writings start. He says in the beginning, you can go back and look in Romans, you can look in other places, and you'll see that Paul starts every one of his epistles with grace be unto you. In some form he says that, and peace. He says that most every time. And so grace and peace, I believe, is the primary blessings of all earthly believers. If you don't have money, if you don't have giant house, if you don't have great cars, if you don't have the best job in the world, you do have grace. You can have peace. Whether you know it or not, you are a recipient of grace. If you recognize it, you've got grace. If you don't recognize it, you have grace. If you made it past 2 years old, that's grace. Amen. If you made it through being married to dummy, That's grace. And people get upset about, you call people dummy. You call people dummy. You're married to dummy. Well, I just, what's all the fusses and arguments you've been having? It's because they're dumb, in your estimation. And of course, nobody will say it on the outside. On the outside, everything's news media perfect. We put up with everybody, and we're tolerant of everybody. Well, what's all that cussing under your breath about? What's all the discontent? What's all the riots about if everybody is tolerant of one another? Mm-hmm. Grace tends to be one way. I need it from you. You get none. If I make a mistake, you must put up with me. If you make a mistake, you're going to hear about it right away. Well, grace is a two-way street. Amen? I suppose the first thing to do is to clear up the definition of grace. The standard Bible school definition of grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. That is not the definition of grace. That's not the definition of grace. If you want a simple definition of what grace is, it's unmerited favor. It's somebody putting up with you when you don't deserve to be put up with. And there's a contradiction in terms right there as far as people's worldview, their religious view, and the view that they claim to espouse. There's one way that they really look at things, and then there's some super tolerant, be nice to everybody way that, you know, people claim to live, and then the way they actually live and the way they actually are. If you're so tolerant, why are you so disgruntled? Amen? If you're so spiritual, and if you're so willing to accept everybody's faults and failures, then why are you so upset? If everybody really, truly had a mindset of what grace was and what peace was, well, we'd be walking around, you know, in peaceful bliss. How are you, brother? So wonderful to see you. And how are you, brother? Oh, I'm so wonderful. Everything's fine. No, well, that is what peace is. That's what grace is. Oh, you've offended me, brother, but I forgive you. Compare that with, I'm never speaking to them again. They didn't even shake my hand this morning. Well, maybe they've got some things going on. And that shows you how little grace people really have with one another. Oh, I can't believe that sister wore the wrong kind of clothing today. I can't really speak to her again. Well, you know, maybe you can't, you know, look at her below the neck, but you can have grace and pray. That brother, he hangs out in the beer joint all night. I can't speak to him. Well, maybe you can, you know, not smell his breath or not go with him, but you could be tolerant and pray for him. And you say, what is that? That's grace. And I'll give you the simple, it's rude, it's crude definition, but it is what it is. I know that we've all probably run across somebody in this life that stinks. I mean, not that their lifestyle is bad or we think they have a crummy, I'm talking about they physically stink. They don't take baths. Or maybe they take baths, but they work real hard and therefore they stink. Well, I mean, I've run into a few people like that. I run into people like that on a regular basis, I think. But at any rate, what are you going to do? Let me just tell you something. You stink, and I wish you'd get away from me. Is that what you do? No, you don't do that. You do. Here's what you do. You get around your friend and say, he stinks. Well, why didn't you tell him that? Well, I'm just full of grace. No, you are a coward. That's what it is. When you don't tell somebody something, you don't say something directly to them, but you run and tell everybody else, ain't he funny? He stinks. She's a lowlife. She stinks. That's cowardly. That's behind the back kind of backstabbing kind of stuff. Now, grace would say, this person doesn't take baths. But I recognize there could be some problems. There could be issues that might not be as smart as some people. They might not have had the training that says regular hygiene is wonderful. They might not have had that kind of training. Amen? I've run across a few people in my lifetime. We used to pick up a family on the bus. Their last name was Tate. They weren't very clean. And when you met their mom and dad, they weren't very clean. They weren't teaching their kids. They weren't raising their kids. Well, they were raising their kids, but in the same manner that some folks might raise hogs. Amen. And so we didn't pass by that house. Amen. We went to that house and brought the kids to church. And my mother, of course, this wouldn't be acceptable in this day and time when you got pedophiles running all over the place. But my mother gave those kids a bath from time to time. Took them in the bathroom and scrubbed behind their ears and took care of them, put clean clothes on them, and fed them. And you say, what is that? That's grace. We could just skip that. We're not going to that house. Amen. They stink. They're poor. Of course, we couldn't complain about that. We was poor too. But we took baths. I recommend baths. But not everybody lives up to your standards. Not everybody lives up to your ideas. Not everybody has your principles. But you put up with it. You don't ridicule them behind their back. You try to meet their needs. You try to educate them. Try to give them an example of what clean is. That's wonderful. That's grace. As much as the high schools and the public television and all that stuff would like to misinform you and miseducate you about the beginnings of your country. Men sailed from Europe to this land and found a whole continent full of savages. You can't say that. You can't say that about the indigenous people. There are no indigenous people in the United States. Everybody that's ever lived in the United States came here from somewhere else. No indigenous people in the United States. Contrary to popular belief, when John Smith landed in America, he bought property. Bought property. So you white people stole all this land from the Indians. The Indians said, nobody can own land. You can't steal stuff that nobody owns. But they bought property from Indians who didn't own it. I don't know how that makes sense, but that's what happened. It sounds to me like the white guy got the short end of the stick. Doesn't it? Brother Ken, I'd sell you this pulpit here. Now, I don't own it. No man can own this pulpit. But I'll sell it to you. You're getting cheated. That is me cheating you. Okay, I sell you the pulpit, you take it home with you, and I come to your house tomorrow and steal it. You say, what is that? That is a savage. Amen. That's a savage. John Smith bought land, built a fort. Savages snuck into the fort, killed men, stole provisions. Amen. And what did John Smith do? Went to the Indians, please don't do this anymore. So what happened? Savages crept into the fort, stole more stuff, killed more men, went back to their little village. What did John Smith do? Went back to the Indians. Please stop this activity. We have a military force with us. You say, what is that, Brother Mike? That's grace. That's grace. That's grace. I know I just went across every line of teaching that you've ever heard in a public school, but that's the truth. That's the information you get when you read the books that the people who actually lived in those days and time wrote, rather than reading about what some fifth grade teacher in 200 years, 300 years, 400 years, 500 years removed from the situation thinks about it, about what happened so long ago. A lady or man, whatever the case might be, that can't remember their 10th birthday, but knows what happened 400 years ago, 300 years ago, 200 years ago. Amen? Isn't it funny, they're not exactly sure what George Washington looked like, but they know what happened 10 million years ago. Amen. A lot of this stuff is not that they know what happened or not that they care what happened, but it's what they can tell you and you won't go check the... Anyway, the putting up with government schools like that is called grace. What ought to be done is they ought to be closed, which is one good thing about COVID. Most of the schools have closed. Amen. You're welcome. It don't feel like everybody's having a good time this morning, but I'm having a wonderful time. That's all true. I haven't told you anything that's not true. Amen. I believe my 7-year-old boy is smarter than some of these folks that are trying to teach Americans this day and time. Amen. Dawkins. Amen. I just got a new book by Dawkins. Dawkins is an idiot. You say, why do you read books by Dawkins then, Brother Mike? Because I'd like to tell you one day how much of an idiot that he is. Amen. Brother Mike, do you think you're smarter than Richard Dawkins? A lot smarter. Amen. A lot smarter. Here's bragging. A braggart in the pulpit. I'm a lot smarter than Richard Dawkins is. You say, how do you know? Because the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Richard Dawkins is an idiot. Amen. He's crippled too high for crutches. Amen? A preacher said back in the 1940s and 50s that the world is going to die. The world is going to go to pot by giving in to the experts. Well, all the experts agree. Well, all the non-experts agree that all you experts are idiots. Amen? You're trained. You're not intelligent. To me, that's what intelligence is. But just to get out of the mainstream way of thinking, they're trained. The whole education system is trained with one idea in mind to get you away from God. Amen. Let's investigate. I'm a little off track, but I'll find my way. I'll drop little breadcrumbs so I can get back to the subject. Evolution, that's Dawkins, that's your public school, it's your elementary school. Evolution. Boy, our school has such a wonderful math teacher. Yeah, but she probably believes in evolution. Therefore, she's an idiot. Amen. Somebody that would believe in evolution or say that they believe in evolution, they're either a lot dumb or they know better and they're just pushing that junk to get you away from God. And I propose to you this morning that nobody in government and nobody in evolution or nobody in education believes in evolution. None of them believe that garbage. I believe that there are no atheists. I believe that everybody in schools and colleges that profess to believe in evolution does not believe in evolution. That's what I believe. I believe they're just trying to teach your kids that to get them away from God so that in the end they will trust the government or education. I believe that Dawkins wants to be God. Therefore, he says there's no God. There is no God. by my book.
That's right.
Well, hey, if there's no God, close all the schools. If you're going to live and die and there's going to be nothing else, what do I need school for? The end result of evolution is Adolf Hitler. We're better than you, therefore we're going to kill you. That's just terrible. Dogs do it. And isn't that the excuse that homosexuality should be allowed? Dogs do it. That's the illustration that they give. It's in the animal kingdom. Oh. Well, let's form up in a pack and go find all the weaklings and kill them and take what they have. Animals do it. Survival of the fittest. Natural selection. So why are you getting in the way of COVID then? Natural selection. Nature decides who survives. That mask you got on, you're trying to block nature.
Yeah.
No, Brother Mike, I'm trying to stay alive. But why? It's because you're selfish. Natural selection says that COVID kills anybody it wants to, leaves who it wants to. They don't believe in that junk. They're just talking that mess.
Amen.
So they can have control over you.
Amen.
And so that you don't get on your knees and say, God, help us with this COVID.
Right.
Amen. Why do you put up with stuff like that, Brother Mike? Grace. Plus, what can I do about it? Amen. All I can do is live. Serve the Lord. Fear God. I can't afford to fear COVID. I can't afford to fear government shutdown. I can't afford to fear the health department coming in and closing the church down. I'm not afraid of that stuff. Might happen. Not sure there's much you can do about it. But I know this. When I wake up tomorrow, God's still going to be here.
Amen.
Amen. I know this, if I wear a mask and survive till next week, God could kill me for something I done last week. I know that. That's what I know. So I'm more interested about God's grace and living with God's peace. And you know, you can live with God's peace in the midst of a war. Paul said we were in a daily warfare. Christian life, it's a daily warfare. And a lot of it, this stuff I'm talking about, the media and all this stuff, it's warfare. And that's voluntary because you turn that stuff on of your own free will. I just can't do it. I can't listen to Glenn Beck. I used to. I mean, I know who he is. I've listened to him before. I can't listen to Rush Limbaugh. Has he died yet? I don't know if he has or not. I heard that he had cancer or something like that. I'm sad about that. I don't want nobody to die for any reason. I'm not getting involved in that stuff. But I'm not going to sit around and listen to him. I'm not going to send him no money. I'm not going to buy a Rush's Right mug when I can spend one, when I can buy a mug with General Lee on it. Amen? Which was far smarter. When General Lee had a problem, he went to war. When Rush has a problem, he gets on the radio and talks about it. And makes you mad. And you get mad. And you do nothing. You don't know that in and of itself is training. Get mad and do nothing. Tomorrow, meet me back here at this same time. I'll tell you another story. And it'll make you mad. And you'll do nothing. There's a lot of years back in there where stuff happened. Well, we got mad we can't have this. First time, let's call a Congress. Let's get together, set that up. Okay, make it happen. We don't have a car. Well, I guess we're going to have to ride 500 miles on a horse to talk this thing over. 500 miles on a horse? Well, I would get up and go to the refrigerator, but I'm kind of tired. Yeah, Rush is right, boy. Them Democrats, they sure do need a swift kick in the pants. Somebody will take care of that. I mean, after three or four offenses, we've put up with you, we've had grace with you, but now we got to dump your tea in the ocean. Let's pretend we're Indians. Well, they needed something to get their bravery up, I suppose. Five or six real offenses, grace run out. It's time to get some things done. Not this generation. It'll never happen. It'll never happen. You'll never. People are done standing up for their rights unless they're fags. Well, that's what my mom and dad called them. Amen. I'm not mad at my mom and dad. It's what my grandparents called them. I'm not mad at them. Amen. I went to public school, and somehow I don't hate my parents. Don't hate my dad. Don't hate my mom. Were they perfect? Absolutely not. Amen. Don't hate my grandparents. Don't hate my great-grandparents. My great-great-grandparents had slaves. I would like to think that if I lived in those days, I wouldn't have slaves, but I'm not mad at my great-great-grandparents because they did something that was acceptable worldwide. Amen. They're awful people. Only the Southern slave owners are awful and terrible. Don't argue with me about slavery when you shop at Walmart.
Amen. Amen.
Buying products made by the largest slave state that there ever has been.
Right.
Shut your mouth. Amen. I don't want to hear your rhetoric.
Amen.
Let's take down a statue. No, let's take down the Walmart sign. China's the largest slave state that there ever has been. It's a slave country. It's not just that's exactly what state means. It means country. But in the idea that you have about states in America, we're not even close. America will never touch Africa and China as dealing in slaves. Never, 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 never will it happen. But it'll be a big deal in America because there's an agenda to overthrow America. Which brings me to the biggest, most prominent example of grace that there is. Americans just take it. The large majority of them see it for what it is. We're so peaceful. Americans are so peaceful. They are. You can watch daily on the news your country being overthrown. We just need to put up with them. Take over a whole city. We should just put up with it. That's grace. Of course, the guy who lives next door to you, who accidentally mowed a strip of your yard and messed up your little lines that you got going on, you haven't spoke to him in 3 months because his lawnmower strayed into your yard. But those liberals trying to overthrow our country, well, just put up with those.
Yeah.
We have grace on the wrong people, don't we?
Amen. Amen.
Don't we?
Yes, sir.
I'm always amazed at these folks that's ready to kick everybody out of church. I wonder if you wrote a letter to California and asked them to kill Charlie Manson. That guy. Pastor, that guy, we need to get him out of this church. I mean, he's really causing a problem. She's really a problem. She doesn't dress incorrectly. We need to get, she doesn't dress correctly. We need to get rid of her as soon as possible. Well, there's a lot worse people in the world we could try to get rid of. I've had people come to me, Brother Mike, that lady, she had a child out of wedlock. I really think that she's not the best example. Well, Mary Magdalene was probably not the best example. Jesus let her hang around. Matter of fact, Simon Peter wasn't too good of an example, if you ask me. What's this naked fishing thing all about? You ever thought about that? I wouldn't have been out there. Hey, guys, let's go fishing. Great, I'm in. Where's y'all's clothes? Believe I'm going to stay over here. You know Baptists are hyper-sexualized. Did you know that? I don't know. Brother Mike, what's this got to do? I have no idea. But I kind of like to just follow the trail where she goes. Baptists. I myself wouldn't have went fishing with a bunch of naked guys. But we are talking about the first leaders of the church. This lady got 2 inches above her knee. I think we need to kick her out. Peter was naked. Now, granted, they weren't in the church house per se, but the standard hypocritical teaching is you all got to do out there what you would do in here, right? Brother Mike, we got to get, this woman has a child. She doesn't have a husband. You can't allow her to keep coming here. Well, first of all, don't tell me what I can't allow. I don't like that. You say, why? Because I'm American. Amen. Well, that's just the way it is. But at any rate, kick people out. Okay, she's not dressed. Quit looking at her. You're pretty well off. I don't know that we got any rich people, but I'm sure your wife got something she'd give her. Ask your wife to give her something decent to wear. If it ain't, your wife and her ain't the same size, have your wife borrow something from some lady who is. Give her clothes. Amen. Pray for her. Pray that the preacher comes up with the right message to give to her.
Amen.
Well, that'd be kind of like compromising, wouldn't it? No, it'd be kind of like grace,
amen,
wouldn't it?
Amen.
Now, let me get back to this. What happens when you don't have grace and when you don't have any peace in your heart? Like, Brother Heath, I know that there's people, men and women, they come to church, hopefully they get saved. They may not be saved, but I'm a firm believer that God can do for people. I mean, if they get under the spotlight of grace and if they get under the preaching of the gospel long enough, I'm a firm believer that God can do for them whatever he's done for me. If he's given me grace, if he's given me forgiveness, if he's given me some tolerance, if he's given me some long-suffering, I'm sure he can do that for others. They're not generally going to get that in one service, maybe 10. You got to give folks time. Even after folks are saved, they're not going to completely fall into line, have all the standards you've got. You've been saved 10 years. They've been saved 10 minutes. You got to give them time to grow and adjust and learn. Got to have grace with them. But the folks that seem to have the less grace also seem to have the less peace. I don't know what we're going to do. Our church is going to get ruined. If that's your estimation of what a ruined church is, it's already ruined. You think everybody that comes to church and has a suit on, has a King James Bible, you think they're all the perfect idea of what Christian is? You're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. People are people. And most of the standards that they profess, they probably really believe those standards. They probably really are aiming for those standards, but they're not living up to them. So, well, that makes them hypocrites, don't it? There you go. There you go. Well, we can't go to church with a bunch of hypocrites. You're on a planet full of hypocrites. It doesn't matter if they go to church or not. There ain't one person on this planet that lives up to all its professed standards. Not one. Not one. You got to have grace with folks. Amen. You got to be long-suffering. You got to have a little of this, what I'll try to preach on in the morning service, patience. When are they ever going to get right? Maybe never. When are they going to get fixed? When are they going to get together? Maybe never. You might have to put up with them for life, just like God's put up with you for life. Because people love themselves so much. God knew me before I was born. God has known me throughout all eternity. Well, look how long he's been putting up with you. Amen? If it would have only been me, Jesus would have died for me. That's the most selfish plus idiotic statement that I've ever heard. And I'm sure it makes Adam feel real good because he was the only one and Jesus didn't die for him. That's communist, socialist Christianity. Amen. And it's not true Christianity. It's me. Well, you're not so hot. You know what you need? You need God's grace. Oh. I won't say the name. I kind of like them. I don't kind of like them. I like them a lot. I really do. But the first time I met them, you know, I'm a pastor. You know, I'm not trying to lose my wife or anything like that. But I go to shake a lady's hand. She goes, "I only touch my husband." And loud. I mean, we had a little church. You could fit four of our little churches inside of this church. And I extend the hand to shake a hand. She says, "I only touch my husband." You say, "What is that?" Ridiculous. If I thought that I was going to jump in bed with every person of the opposite sex, gender, the opposite gender, I just don't think I could live with myself. Amen? Because I am not. Brother Mike, you shouldn't say not. Well, let's just give up and shoot ourselves in the head and put it over with. Okay? Because if that's how fragile we are, if that's how undecided we are, that every man or every woman that we might shake their hand, see, maybe that's the way society looks at itself now, but back in the day, those people were floozies, selfish people. Well, occasionally, they were called sluts. Is that you? Is it or ain't it? Well, you know, I understand you got to be careful. You got to be prayed up. All kinds of temptations and trials you got to look out for. No temptation that men are accustomed to. There's no trial that men are accustomed to that another man won't be accustomed to. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common. Not absolute, but common. Your temptations are common with one another. Amen? Okay. Now, see the tension? You can cut it with a knife. There's wisdom involved. If I was knocking on somebody's door, it was a lady at home. She opens the door and she goes, well, you know, now's a perfect time. Come on in. Let's talk about the gospel. No, I'm not going to do that. You say, why, Brother Mike, you think something might happen? Yeah, something might happen. Somebody might say something. Yeah. Somebody might talk. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? There's this guy in the Bible named Joseph. Amen. She said some pretty bad things that weren't so.
That's right.
So there's all kinds of dangers involved in stuff like that. Yeah. But there is a large... Because I wanted to clear this up before we close the sermon. I didn't want to just hit it and pass on by. I'm talking about this hyper-sexualized church that we live in. And what it usually turns out, listen, I've been to a church with 1,000 people who had rule upon rule upon rule upon rule upon rule. And those rules tended, I think, you can disagree if you want to, Not a verse in the Bible we can argue about. But I tend to think that a lot of those rules push folks together. Because after you get, listen, I keep going back to this thing about people being trained. Because it's true. And you need to understand that a lot of things you do and a lot of things you say, you've been trained to do it. And you've been trained to think it. And God forbid... And every time I see it, I try to correct it in our own home and in our own house. But one thing I do not want for my boy is every time he sees a woman, to him to think about procreation. Oh, boy, I try not to be too graphic in church. But everything about a woman as a man is not about marital relations. We are at the place where every time you see a woman, marital relations. Why you got to think that way? Well, because she's a woman, that's what she's made for. You're an idiot. You are an idiot. Now, that's not to say that there's not plenty of jerks and perverts out there that every time they see a woman, pretty indiscriminately. But that's the people that are staying on the pornography sites. And that's the person that's had it drilled in their head since they were 3 years old. Got to stay away from those girls. Ain't nothing wrong with girls. That boy's going to need a girl one day.
Amen.
Well, all of his life. If the record holds true in regards to dishes and laundry and finding keys and fixing food, all the stuff that men seem to be crippled about. Well, don't you think women are worth more than that? Yeah, I do, but men are too stupid to do that kind of stuff. Not me. I can do laundry. I can cook. When I was a boy, we had chores. Chores. We did work around the house. We didn't have any sisters. But you get this mindset. Girls are for having family relations with and for cooking and cleaning and doing laundry. You're an idiot.
Amen.
You are an idiot. Amen. Why do you keep saying that, Brother Mike? Because you're idiots. If that's the way you think, if that's the way you think, that's an idiotic way of looking at things. I understand that God gave us roles. You ought to fulfill them. The Bible says a woman ought to be a chaste, keeper at home. Well, I don't know if you've did much study in that chastity. That cuts out a lot of the lewdness, a lot of the loudness. Amen. You want to know in a church which women become the ideas about that men have about immodesty? You want to, I'll tell you this, you can cut out a lot of this stuff. You don't want people cheating on one another in church? Be quiet. You say, what is that? That's being chaste. Be modest. What is that? That's being chaste. It cuts out a lot of it. It's a two-way street. Oh, my blood pressure gets up a little bit talking about this. This Me Too movement. Brother Mike, these ladies were done injustice. Well, not most of the things that I heard on TV, no. That wasn't injustice. Well, these actresses that were taking advantage, they wanted this part. Well, they could have said, I don't want the part. Amen. It's a two-way street. Amen. This guy, he's real bad because he took advantage. Well, it was Hollywood. Preachers told you a long time it was going to be bad. Amen. Well, he told her she couldn't have this part unless there was some marital relationship involved. Well, she said yes. Yeah. That's not Me Too. It's Me Too, but I want to be involved in this, so I'm willing to give this. That is a prostitute. Amen. Yeah. Amen. That doesn't surprise me at all. It's Hollywood. So there's definitely roles. A woman's supposed to be a chaste keeper at home. A man's supposed to be a keeper at home. What's the chapter and verse, Brother Mike? What do you think a head of a household is? It's a keeper. I don't know what it has to do with grace, but it's true. It's true. It certainly is true. Oh, but... I'm sure some folks disagree with what I've said about that, but there's a lot of truth in that. Brother Mike, I think there ought to be standards between men and women. I understand that. I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm not disagreeing with that at all. But I'm also saying that all this stuff, oh, you better not talk to her. You better not talk to him. Y'all might start cheating on your wives and husbands. Do you realize how many hurdles that you'd have to jump to get in that situation? But I can promise you this. Oh, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't put that in the mind of a little kid. I don't think that's the way kids are supposed to be raised. I just don't think so. Hey, watch out for them women. What? That sounds to me what's going on in the liberal television. Watch out for those white guys. What do you think that builds after a while? Watch out for those men, those predatory men. Whether you know it or not, that's an assault against the father. Doesn't matter if he's white or black, doesn't make any difference. The idea of father is being trashed, just like in a lot of ways. What do you think of, listen, somebody goes and shakes my wife's hand, I don't give a flip. I don't care about that. Now, write her a love letter, we're probably going to have problems. You think about it just a minute. These ideas you've got about this situation that we're talking about is about other people. You think that about yourself? Well, if he keeps talking to her, they'll be cheating. They'll be cheating pretty soon. What about you? Brother Mike, don't you keep a very close eye on your wife and make sure she doesn't have any male friends? No, I don't. I made sure she was trustworthy before I married her. I've never understood these guys Oh, don't talk to my wife. Don't you? Don't you like her at all? You don't trust her? What kind of wife you got? I mean, you know her better than I do, but she can't talk to people at church? Listen, I grew up with a guy, White Plains Baptist Church. I grew up with these people. She was a little bit older than me. He was a little bit older than me, but they were about my brother's age, 4 or 5 years older than me, and, a little bit older than that. That had to be a little bit older than that, but they were still considered young people at the church, but they were married, just married, and when they sat in church, he sat here looking, amen, amen, and she sat here looking at him. What else did she do, Brother Mike? She got up to sing from time to time, and when she got up to sing, they used to sit back there about where Brother Joe's sitting now as far as our church was back in those days. She had to look at him and sing, oh, how I love my husband. How I love Jesus. Looking at him. Because the rule was, you can't look at anybody else at church but me. What's the idea? She might run off. Woman, I love you, but I can't trust you. You say, what'd she do? She left him. Which was, I can't say this as a preacher, so I'll step out just to the plain old person and say, she should have left him. Because he was an idiot. There's a difference between being mindful and watch, and you can tell. You can tell what's going on. And when you see what's going on, whoa. Amen? There's a difference in that and being spiritual and being watchful and being circumspect. There's a difference in that. Whoa. I only touch my husband. It's a handshake. I had a good reputation around here until you said that. What's Brother Mike trying to do? Nothing. It's in broad daylight. I'm married. If I wanted to go out with you, I would keep it a secret. Almost nothing that I said is on this piece of paper, so we'll move on. Lord, we thank you for this day, for your goodness and for your grace. Thank you for your leadership and your guidance, Lord. At one point in time, I don't think I'd venture off on rabbit trails like this, but I've lived long enough and been around long enough, Lord, that I trust that when a thing comes to mind and impressed on the heart that things need to be said, I pray that you'd help with it. I pray you'd help us to be circumspect, not allow ourselves to be foolishly influenced, God. But I pray that you'd also help us to be Christian, help us to be full of grace, and help us to be open, Lord, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us to build one another up, not tear down one another, not to tear down one another's marriages. And God, not to tear down one another's fellowship, one another's relationship with the community, with one another, Lord, with the country that we live in. Help us, God, as Christians, to be pillars, God. Help us to be strong in our community and strong in the grace and the peace. And Lord, I pray you'd give us great peace, God, to work, to move in our community, to move as you'd have us to move. And I pray you'd help us to be unhindered, God, by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen.